Good morning, my name is Patrick, and I have the privilege of bringing us our second reading, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
My name's Gary Haddon. It's a pleasure to be here on this Easter Sunday to open God's Word with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you that we get together today to celebrate all that your Son has done for us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I can't remember the last time daylight saving time changed on Easter Sunday. You know what? I can't. But I do remember back in the day when you had to change your clocks in your house, and especially your bedside clock before you went to bed. Otherwise, you'd be an hour early to church, or worse, an hour late in the evening. But these days, don't even need to worry about that. You know why? This little thing does it automatically. How good are these? Doesn't help me change the clock in my car, but these days, my phone does it automatically, changes the time. It's fantastic. But does anyone else here use their phones for other kinds of reminders? Anybody? To remind yourself about something important? Anybody else use your phone to set a reminder? Yeah, absolutely. Where would I be without it? Whether it's a reminder from your calendar about someone you're supposed to go and meet, or a reminder to go to someone's house, your mother's house for lunch on Easter Sunday, for example. Or for me, or for maybe some of you, reminders to take your medication. Maybe just a reminder to get out of bed. It's time. Get out of bed. Why do we need reminders of things that we don't want to miss, or just can't afford to miss? I think because we're convinced that it matters. Or in the case of your medications, it might literally be a matter of life and death. I say this because here we are again on Easter Sunday for around the 2000th time, if you've been around that long. But most of it is actually Easter Sunday, the most important of all timely reminders. Easter Sunday is the day each year when we are reminded that Jesus is alive. That Jesus rose from the dead. Once again, we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Now, why do we do it every year? Because it is a timely reminder. In fact, it is the most significant, the most important of any reminder that you can set. Today we're going to see why it's such an important reminder from chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians. Not the whole chapter, but I'm going to talk about the chapter based on the very first verse. The first verse that says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand." See, because I think this first verse sets the context for the whole of the chapter. In fact, we're just going to look at three things. The gospel that was preached, the gospel that was received, and the gospel on which you have taken your stand. Why is it that every time we gather together as followers of Jesus that there's some type of preaching or spoken word? Because that is how people hear about the message of Jesus. The good news about Jesus. That which is the gospel of Jesus. It has to be spoken about. Which is what he says in verse 3. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." The message isn't just received and we sit here and go, "Oh, isn't it great for us?" No, the message is passed on because it is that important. It is quite literally a matter of life and death. Now, what is this important message that we need this reminder about? Well, there are three things about this message that are so important that we need to set a reminder. But I'll deal with one thing at a time. The next part of verse 3, here's the first part of the message, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We're reminded that the events of Easter weren't just some random events that were a mistake that we now need to be reminded of. It was all part of the script. It was according to the scriptures. Everything was perfectly planned by God. It was written in the script. There's no ad lib going on. Now, in my role as assistant to two bishops in the diocese, I spend a lot of time in my car. And, you know, as much as I can do the phone calls with the hands free and listen to music, I actually like to listen to some podcasts as well. And at one point, I was listening to a podcast called The Office Ladies. It was by two ladies that were in the TV show, The Office. And they would talk about each episode and they'd answer questions. And the most common question was, "Oh, in this episode, what was part of the script and what was, you know, a mistake or a blooper that they kept in? And what was ad lib?" And they talk about the stuff that was part of the script. There was a lot of stuff that was just ad lib that stayed in the show. But we read here that these things that happened at Easter were according to the scriptures. We're meant to understand that everything followed God's original plan. There's no ad lib. There's no bloopers. There's no reacting to things that went wrong. Jesus, as the Christ, which is basically God's anointed, chosen King and Saviour for his people, he died for our sins. His death that we are reminded of at Easter was for our sins. He died the death we deserved for ignoring God, for not loving God with our whole being, not loving one another as people created in God's image. None of us are perfect. But the problem is that wages we have earned because of that is death. But because Jesus took our wages, because he took the debt we owed, he paid. Because he paid, the price has been paid fully, once and for all time, because that was according to God's plan. That's the first thing about the good news, the gospel. The second thing flows on from that, that he was buried. It's an important reminder because it is proof that he was actually, his human body was actually physically dead. And that's important because if he did not die, the debt for our sins has still not been paid. But the fact is, Jesus died and was buried. We're meant to be reminded that this is a fact. Now, it doesn't sound like good news. What makes that a Good Friday? But it's a central part of why that news about Easter is good, because without his death, the third thing doesn't exist either, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Again, an important reminder about what happened according to the script. Jesus' death was for our sins. It was a real death, which made his resurrection real as well. And in chapter 15, in verses 5 to 8, the Apostle Paul writes about all the different groups and individuals who can testify to the fact that Jesus is alive. He offers the proof of these hundreds of eyewitnesses that Jesus was who he really dead and was really raised to life. His death was real. His resurrection is real. And not just real, but foretold. It was always part of God's plan to rescue humanity. It was according to the scriptures. Jesus, God's only Son, became man to take upon himself the sacrifice for our sins in his death on the cross. And he rose to life to show that that debt has been paid, that death has been defeated. And we can share with him life forever as part of God's family by trusting in what he has done for us. The resurrection is the necessary completion of what Jesus has done. Jesus' death can only be found to have been effective in gaining forgiveness for the sins of the whole world if he has been risen from the dead. And the fact is, he is risen. This is the gospel that was preached. Now, I've spent most of our time on the first point because that's the heart of the reminder. This is the reminder of first importance. But I'm going to briefly look at the last two things from verse 1. The gospel that was received and the gospel on which we can take a stand. It's good to be reminded of the gospel that has been preached. That's great. It's good to hear it again. But hearing it doesn't make much of a difference. I can hear messages and not have them sink in. This year, while I've been married for 34 years to my wife, Julie, and I may or may not have been known to actually tell my wife something and for her to respond, "I just said that 60 seconds ago." I may or not be guilty of sometimes hearing her words and not receiving them. Communication doesn't work unless the message is both proclaimed and received. In the same way, the gospel needs to be preached to us and received by us. It needs to sink in. We need to receive it. We need to understand it. We need to accept it. In order to receive it, we need to believe and we need to trust. I mean, I can receive a present, but if I never open it, what's the point of receiving it? Now, when I was young, I got one sister, and she's older than me, and my grandmother used to give us these wonderful eggs at church on Christmas Sunday, beautiful chocolate eggs, and lovingly made and, you know, got little icing all over it and all these kind of things. And mine would be gone by Easter Monday. But my sister, she put it in the fridge. I wasn't allowed to touch it. My dad wasn't allowed to touch it, which was difficult for him. But, you know what, she never ate it, and it would get all white and crusty and go off. And what a waste. If you get your Easter egg, eat it. Don't let it go off. That's ridiculous. We haven't really received the message of the gospel unless we believe it, we trust it, we eat it. Now, I've known some people who've heard the message preached and don't want to receive it because they said to me, "Well, I actually don't deserve it." And if you think there are people who are so far away from God that the gospel couldn't possibly be for them, check out verse 9. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm the least of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." So the Apostle Paul, his letters make up the majority of the New Testament. He wasn't just a person far away from God, ignoring God and doing stuff that God wouldn't approve of. No, he was actively God's enemy. He was actively persecuting the people of the risen Jesus. If anyone didn't deserve to receive the gospel, didn't deserve to receive the grace and mercy, it was this guy. The news about who Jesus is and what he's done is for all of humanity. Although he was the last person who deserved it, he was able to receive Jesus and be rescued from the eternal consequences of his sin. And because of that, he was able to take a stand. That's what Paul did when he received the gospel. That's what Paul said that the Corinthian church needs to do. This is what you and I are called to do as well. And I love this bit about taking a stand. It makes you feel strong and tough or something, doesn't it? But it's what we do when we stake our very lives on something. This is what receiving the gospel means for you and for me. Staking our lives on the claims of Jesus. Trusting the gospel for our future and living for the gospel today. The gospel of the Lord Jesus, of who he is, the great news about what he's done for us, is preached to us, we receive it, and so we stake our lives on it. I mean, the reason that Paul goes into all the details in verses 2 to 11 of chapter 15 is because if we're going to take a stand on something, we need to know that it's true. And so in these verses, he presents all the evidence. These are the historical facts. Jesus of Nazareth died, was buried, was raised to life as the fulfillment of God's perfectly scripted plan to save his people. But more importantly, Christ died for our sins. It wasn't just a normal death. It wasn't just another Roman execution of a lawbreaker. Jesus' death is to pay for our sin. He was not a lawbreaker, and yet he stood in our place, taking the punishment that our sins deserve. Not his. He had no sin. Yours and mine. And it's that on which we can stake our lives. That's worth taking a stand for. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. It was witnessed, verifiable. It's a historical fact. Jesus' dead body was laid in a tomb, and it's historically verifiable that that tomb was empty, that he rose again. See, both his enemies and his friends said the same thing. And then he appeared to Peter and the disciples and 500 others. The people that Paul talks about in this part of God's word were all prepared to die for the stand they took. And many of them did. Some people do today. So it's important that these things are based on the facts, on the historical realities. Real life, real death, real resurrection, because that gives us real hope. And in verse 10, Paul points out the effect this real hope had on his life. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. See, when we have the gospel proclaimed to us, when we receive it, when we take a stand of it, our lives are transformed. We no longer live for ourselves, but the one who loved us so much that he rescued us from death. Our lives now have a far deeper meaning and purpose when we have that real hope for eternity. When he offers us what we don't deserve, when we truly receive his grace, it affects who we are. It affects every part of our life. We can't go on as if nothing has changed because everything has changed. And that's part of our timely reminder this Easter. But remember, reminders are only useful if we pay attention to them. You get your message, your reminder that you're supposed to meet someone for coffee and you don't bother, the reminder was in vain. If you turn off the alarm that you set, the reminder was in vain. If you just ignore the reminder to take your heart medication, it can be a matter of life and death. But my plea for all of us here today is that the reminder we've received this Easter will not be in vain. Accept God's invitation. Come to him trusting that Jesus has paid the price for you. Receive the good news. And will you take a stand on it and receive that real hope for eternity? Now, there are a couple of things you can do if you want more information, if you haven't made that life-changing decision and you want to. As Liz said, there's some free accounts of the Jesus, free copies of the accounts of Jesus' life on the table over there, or even downstairs in the foyer, I believe. Read the facts for yourself. And secondly, I believe in the next term there's going to be an opportunity for exploring what the Christian good news is all about over 7 weeks. Again, I believe there should be some leaflets in the same place. Look for a book with a title, What Are Your Next Steps?, that give you information about what you can do. My prayer for us all today is that we would pay attention to this timely reminder about who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this timely reminder. We thank you for your Son who died and rose again so that we can be with you in heaven forever. Help us, Lord, to accept this gift. Help us to proclaim to others this gift. And help us, Lord, to take a stand on this gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.